Friday, January 10th, 1986. The chapel speaker is Dr. Carl Barth. His sermon text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 16. And his sermon theme, He Has Other Sheep.
A portion of today's Gospel lesson from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, the 16th verse. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. In the name of Jesus, our Epiphany King and Good Shepherd, dearly beloved. Because our younger son knows that his father enjoys biographies, he stuffed my Christmas stocking this year with a little volume on the life and work of Albert Einstein. And one must read only about 30 pages or so to come across Einstein's view of God. While this man, with his great formula on energy and mass, believed that there was something behind that energy, he stated that he believed in Spinoza's God, who reveals himself in the harmony of all things, but not in a God who concerns himself with the fate and actions of men. And of course, there are millions of people like him. Either God is for them at best some celestial machine minder, or if they do believe in a personal God, they may well rehearse what Hermann Göring, the Nazi warlord, said to our chaplain at his trial in Nuremberg, God is far too busy and big to be concerned about any Hermann Göring. We know better. Bethlehem tells us that God is indeed concerned about the fate of his creation. He cares. He cares enough, we say, to send the very best, his only begotten Son. And in the manger, the eternal God partook of flesh and blood so that through death we might have life and have it more abundantly. And countless Christians around the world, perhaps some of you, observed Christmas this holiday season for the first time without a loved one who had passed on. And yet, because of that gospel, we're able to smile through your tears. And it is that which prompted Paul Gerhardt, who himself experienced so much trouble, to say in that beautiful Christmas hymn, Thou Christian heart, whoe'er thou art, be of good cheer and let no sorrow move thee. For God's own child in mercy mild joins thee to him. How greatly God must love thee. How greatly God must love us, everyone. And that makes us feel good as we come back to campus at the beginning of another calendar year. It is, of course, not simply the inhabitants of 801 Des Moines that God loves, or even all of those who are today his sheep. In our text, the Lord Jesus reminds us that he has other sheep. He is concerned about them. Pray God that we are and shall be as well. Sheep. Recall that Martin Luther in the small called articles defined the church as holy people and sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd. The sheep are simply those who by God's working in their hearts have accepted Jesus as their personal savior from sin. But this picture, of course, predates by far the coming of the Savior and his epiphany. The Psalms, for example, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, all use this rich imagery. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks continually. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gently lead those that are with young, and so forth. And in the Old Testament lesson read before, those who pervert the word of the Lord are described as those who destroy and scatter my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. It is, in fact, because it is the descendants of Abraham who are first and foremost the sheep of God that these words of Jesus are so striking. Other sheep I have, who are not of this fold. The other sheep are the Gentile believers who are also to be brought to faith in that same Savior. I have them, Jesus says, considering them to be his own already, even though they are may still be aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. We know that Jesus brought some of those other sheep into the flock during his earthly ministry. The centurion with the ailing child would, Jesus said, sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil confessed him as son of David and was commended for her faith. These are the other sheep. And Jesus is concerned about them. Them also I must bring. There we get that must that pops up so often in his vocabulary. The same pressure of duty, the same zeal, the same divine compulsion that we see and hear elsewhere. Already as a child, he must be about the Father's business. He must preach. He must accomplish his work. He must work while it is day. He must go to Jerusalem to suffer. And he must also bring these other sheep, already his in the light of election, but sheep who have not yet heard his voice and followed him. This concern, which is highlighted so much at this time of the year when we see people come from afar to worship him, is to be ours as well. Dr. Walter Kaiser, the dean of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, wrote a little piece about a year ago on missions. And he began by saying, missions, evangelism, and discipleship must become the new hallmarks of any seminary that wants to stay alive and move creatively in the years that will close this century. And a little later, after reminding us that the babies born last year or before those babies reach high school, the population of this world, something under 5 billion people, will have increased to 7 billion, says, missions must be the very air that the whole seminary faculty breathes. How do you react to that? I know how my flesh reacts. It gets very angry and defensive, and it says, what do you want to do, turn this place into a Bible college and forget all about scholarship? Or that flesh may wish to console my conscience and say, well, look at all the people in the world today who are talking about evangelism and missions. Most of them aren't playing with a full theological deck. They mess up the message. They garble the gospel. Well and good. You don't have to listen to any Walter Kaiser. But we do want to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And he says, go and make disciples. And these other sheep I must bring. And so it's not simply a matter for the so-called practical department. The essential study of the Word of God that we do in the original languages is intended to help us better expound that word, but not simply to strengthen the stakes, but also to lengthen the cords of God's tent. And we articulate doctrine for the same purpose. And we reflect upon the history of the Christian church and have our hearts warmed as we remember how the true church of all ages went everywhere preaching the word. Thank God that we hear more of that must today on our campus. And we see that kind of mentality translated into action in our church body as well. May that concern grow and increase. Also, so that the flock which has been bought in the blood of the Good Shepherd may grow and increase as well. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.